open up their eyes that they may be able to see. Lord, open up their heart that they may be able to receive. And I thank you in advance that this word gonna go forth and it's gonna accomplish what it was set out to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. All right then, let's just go, let's just dive right into it. Last week we talked to, if you was here, what we talked about last week, running the race of faith. We in a race, saint. We are in a race and not a race of competition, not a race of seeing who is going to be the best, see who has the best, not that type of race. We're not in competition. We're not, this is not a competitive race. Our race has already been set before us. Whatever our race is, God already done set it before us. And what we need to do is find out what our race is and just run it, keeping our eyes off of everybody else, not being concerned about nobody else and what they are doing. We just run our race. And guess what? The race that has been set before us, guess what? We didn't get a chance to pick it. We didn't choose it. God has already, he chose the race that we're going to run. God chose the race and he already has put it out there before. What we're going to have to do is find out what our race is and get in there and just go with it. We're not in competition. This is not a competitive race. And we're not trying to outdo nobody. Just do your race, complete your race, be consistent, be diligent, be faithful for what God has ordained for you to do. And that's what we were talking about last week. Now we're just going to move right on up the ladder to our message today. And the title of the message is All Eyes on Him. All Eyes on Him. Looking at Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith. All eyes on Him. I want you to know that many people have took their eyes off of Jesus. Many people got their eyes on things, places, and other people. Take your eyes off of them and put your eyes on Him. Come on now. We need to focus on Jesus Christ. We need a new outlook. We need to put our eyes on Jesus. He is the one going to help us. But I want you to know, people are putting their eyes on a lot of other things. They putting it on places. They putting it on people. They putting it on situations and circumstances. Take your eyes off of that and put your eyes on Him. Focus on Jesus. He is the one I'll bring you through. He is the one I'll carry you through. He is the one going to put you on top, going to help you to get over that. He said, when thou passest through, and through means Jesus, when thou passest through the rivers and the waters and the fire, he said, hey, I'll be with you. I'll be for you. Put your eyes on Jesus. We got our eyes on somebody else. We got our eyes on something else. And that ain't going to help us. We need to place our eyes on Jesus. Because once we set our eyes on Jesus, get a made up mind and a fixed heart, focus on Him. I tell you, He'll bring you through your test, your trial, your hardship and pain. Let's refocus. Let's fix our eyes on Him, get a new outlook, and that's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. All eyes, many times, they get on somebody else. All eyes, sometimes, get on something else. But we need to take it off of that and put our eyes on Jesus. The one that will carry you through. He is the author and the finish of our faith. Let's go to the book of Kings. Let's just start off over there in the book of King. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Said, neighbor, put your eyes on him. Look at somebody else and tell them, neighbor, put your eyes on him and get a new outlook. Amen. Let's go to 1 Kings. Let's go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. You know, we get the cart before the horse sometime. We get caught up in things like what you want. You get caught up on what you believe or what you think or your little wants. I want you to know your little wants sometimes could cause you to miss out on God's very best. See, he'll give you, and watch this, and let me just take a moment out and just share this with you. See, we can get what we want, and then we could turn around and lose what we had. Come on now. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, if we stay focused on him, in the end, we will win. In the end, we'll be the head and not the tail. Because we can take our focus off of him, take our eyes off of Jesus, and begin to put it on people, things, and situations. I tell you, and you can get those things that you focus on. You can get those things that you have a desire to have. But sometime, and I'm going to show you from the Bible, you can get what you want and you can lose what you had. And then you wish you had and never got it. You don't want it then because it can cause you so much hardship and pain. Come on, get what you need. And then he'll turn around and give you your heart's desire. And once he do that, then guess what? You're in the safe zone then. Look at 1 Kings, what did I tell you? 1 Kings chapter what? Amen. I want to see who dozing on me. I want to see who's tracking, who's following me. 1 Kings chapter 3, let's start at verse number 5. And we're going to, I doubt very serious that we'll get through with this today, but if not, we'll pick it up on next time around. In Gilgal, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now notice now, God appeared to Solomon in a dream, and he asked him, what can I do for you? What is your desire? You know, I just wonder, what would our answer be? If God was to appear to you in a dream and ask you what you want, now you know he can grant, he can do anything. I just wonder, what would you ask him? I'm going to show you what Solomon asked. Out of everything that he could have asked, let's just see what he did ask him. Verse number 6. And Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in upright of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Verse number 7. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. We're going to see what that little child is, what he's talking about. In other words, let's just go ahead and look at it. He said, I'm a little child. I'm a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. He said, I am a little child. In other words, you know what he was saying? Inexperience. He didn't have the experience as a mature adult or those that have been walking with the Lord even long. He didn't have the experience. Verse number 8, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chose, a great people that cannot be numbered, nor counted for multitude. Verse number 9. Now, remember, up there in verse number 5, where God appeared to Solomon, and he asked him, what can I give you? What can I do for you? What do you have? Now, I gave you an opportunity. What would you, if God was to appear to you and ask you, what do you have? I mean, what can I do for you? I just wonder. Take two. I just wonder, what would you ask God to do for you? Because, see, you know God can do it. What would you ask them for? Look at verse number 9. Give them. Now, this was Solomon. This Solomon answer. He said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thou so great a people? You know what he asked? Give me an understanding heart that I can judge the people, that I can judge good from evil. He wanted wisdom. He wanted knowledge. He wanted an understanding heart. What would you have to ask God for if he was to give you that same opportunity, that same option? But notice what this man said. Notice what he said. Give me an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. He wanted to know what understanding heart. He wanted the wisdom that he can make a right choice, that he can make a right decision in dealing with God's people. I think that's a great thing. He wanted wisdom because you can get all the money that you need. You can get the finest car that you can buy. You can get the biggest house that you can park it in. But guess what? Those things will fade away. But if you got the wisdom of God, come on now, and the understanding of God, you can repeat it. Go back and get it because you're making a right choice and right decision, and you can receive God's very best every time. If you get what you need, watch this in. If you get what you need, God will turn around and give you the desire. He'll give you what you want. And once you get that, and then you won't lose your love. You won't allow your little wants to overshadow your love for him. People want a new car and they get with their saints and they get together and they team up in prayer. They fast and they pray for these for this new car and everything. And once they get the car, guess what? On Sunday, they ain't got time. They got to wash. You got a little dirt on it Saturday. On Sunday, don't even show up at church. They got to wash it and polish it and shine it up. They're losing what they had. They had that relationship. They had a fellowship. They had a continued bond with those in the congregation. But they break. They got what they wanted. But they lost what they had. Their commune with God. Their fellowship with the saints. They walk with him and they can talk with him. Watch this out. Wisdom. If you get the wisdom, God will help you to make the right choice, the right decision at the right time. And you'll get the money. He'll tell you, go here. He'll tell you, go there. He'll tell you to do this. He'll tell you to do that. But you get the, people get the cart before the horse. They want the things first. And when you do that, you can miss out on God's very best. And we're going to see it, some things from the scripture here. Let's go ahead on. Look here. Look at verse 10. And the speech pleases the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God was pleased because Solomon asked him that. Look what he said in verse 11. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and has not asked for thyself long life. He didn't even ask him for a long life. Come on now. Neither have thou asked riches. He didn't ask for no money. He didn't ask for no gold. He didn't ask for the money for thyself. Nor has axed the life of that enemy. He didn't say, hey, go destroy my enemy. I know that they don't like me. I know that they are against me. Go wipe them out. He didn't even ask that. Look at him now. He said, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern and to make judgment. Discern and judgment. He wanted wisdom. He wanted God's wisdom. He wanted to put it. Isn't that what we need today? Isn't that what we ought to be praying about? Isn't that what we ought to be seeking God for? And instead of things all the time, they all right in their place. They all right to have. They all right. But we need to get what we need. And we need, number one, we need wisdom. We need to know him in an intimate and a personal way. We need to know God. We need all eyes on him. Not people, not things, not somebody, but all eyes should be on Jesus. All our eyes, all our focus, all our effort should be geared towards knowing him, keeping our eyes on him. Look at number 12. Behold, watch this here. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that thou was none like thee before, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. He made him the wisest man in the world. Was nobody no wiser than him before him, and what? And nobody came along, had more wisdom than Solomon. God turned around and gave him I don't want to get ahead of myself. Look at 13. And I have also given thee. Watch this here. Stay with me now. Look at verse number 13 very carefully. I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. He said, I done gave you wisdom. I done gave you knowledge. I done gave you understanding heart. I done gave you that you can discern between good and evil. I did just what you say. Now I'm going to turn around and give you what you didn't even ask me for. Come on now. Come on now. You get what you need. God will turn around and make sure you get some of the thing, all the thing that you have a desire if you delight yourself in him and walk upright before him. 13, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor. He got the money. He got what he needed first. Come on, church, talk to me now. He got what he needed from the beginning. He got wisdom first. He got an understanding heart. And then God turned around and gave him riches. And gave him honor. Turn around and gave it. Those things. Isn't that just like God? Isn't that just like God? It says, so that thou should not be in among the kings like unto thee all the days. He gave it to him. He gave him what he needed. He gave him what he wanted. If we just put our priorities straight. If we just stop putting the cart before the horse, get what we need, God will turn around and give us what we desire. Come on now, stay with me. Let's look at it from another point of view. Let's go to the New Testament. Go to Matthew 6 and 33. Matthew 6 and 33. Are you still tracking? You with me? 6:33. Notice what he said. I think the priority is we get them twisted. All eyes need to be on him. All eyes need to be on Jesus. What did I say? Six what? I just want to see you tracking. You say you were. 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, come on now, all of these things shall be added unto you. All the things that the peoples are out there hustling and bustling, working 7 days a week, 12-hour shift, 24, whatever they have to do to get things, wearing themselves out. Why? He said, if you just seek me, put me first. Take me off the back burner and put me on the front burner. I'll turn around. All them things that people are trying to hustle and bustle and to get, I'll turn around. I'll make it a way that you can have those things. You can get those things. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Turn with me. Let's see what is the kingdom of God? That's a very good question. What is the kingdom of God? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? You don't heard these very familiar scripture. You know it. You can quote it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know. But what is the kingdom of God? Let's go. Let's take a look at a couple of scripture, at least one or two. Go to the book of Romans. Romans 14. Romans 14. What is the kingdom of God? That's a very good question. 14 and 17. Watch this here now. Romans 14 and 17. It said, for the kingdom of God. Are you there? If you're there, so praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We don't want to leave nobody behind. Nobody left behind. Watch where we're at. Romans 14 and 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not what you eat. It's not the clothes. It's not the thing. It's not that. The kingdom of God is not that. But watch this here. Now he's going to come back and tell you what it is. The kingdom of God. He said, but righteousness. Right standing with God. Right relationship with God. In harmony with God. In unity with one another. And the peace of, and peace. The kingdom of God is said, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. His peace. When you're in right standing, right relationship with God, you know what that's going to produce? Peace. And when you get the peace of God, that's joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. The righteousness, right living, right relationship with him. And out of that right there, it's going to produce peace. And once you get peace, then you got joy. You got joy in the Holy Ghost. Saints, get what you need. And God will turn around and give you what you want. We need him. We need our eyes on Jesus. Come on now. We need to seek him. We need to get to know him in a deeper way. We need to go deeper with him. We need to get to know him. Let's go to the book of watch this here. Let me show you a man that got twisted. A couple people got twisted. There's more people, but I'm just going to give you a couple of. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Let's back up. Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Oh, Matthew 27. When you get it, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Matthew 27, verses number 3. Let's read this in verse 27, verse number 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Verse number 4, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is this? Look at here. Look at the devil now. They the one gave him the money. Judah come back, complain, and knows they respond. He don't care nothing about you, don't repent it. Knows what they say. What is that to us? Just cause you don't repent it. Because you betrayed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, what is it to us? And it says, go on. See thou to that. In other words, you did it. Why run back to me? But let me just share a little light on that. See, we can get what we want, and we can lose out what we had. Let me just break it open for you a little bit more. Judas, he walked with God. He was handpicked by God. He was chosen by God. He was one of the 12 that walked with it. Watch this now. He seen Judas with his own eyes, seen Jesus, raised him the dead. He seen him heal the sick. He seen them feed the 5,000. He seen all the supernatural miracles. And he stayed healed, Judas. And all his need was met. But guess what? He got money in his eyes. He got money in his eyes. I want this. He seen a way that for 30 pieces of silver, he overheard a conversation. Who was that Jesus? They wanted some to ID Jesus, wanted to find out who he was and everything. And Judas, I show him. The man I walk up to, just kind of paraphrase a little bit, and embrace and kiss. That is Jesus. I want you to know, he said, I'll give you 30 pieces of silver. Judas went on and betrayed it. Walked up to him, embraced him and kissed him. That close to heaven, he missed out on. I mean, that close, he kissed the doors of heaven and he missed out on it. He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. Come on now. He let money get in his eyes. He let things. He wanted that money. He got it. And then he came back and wanted to give it to him. Guess what? They laughed at him in so many words. They said, who is it? They didn't even care. What is it? I don't care if you don't repent it. But then guess what? Judah got what he wanted. And he lost what he had. And he ended up, y'all know the story. He went out and crucified himself. Look at that. That close to heaven and allow money or thing come before him in his relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He took his eyes off of him. That's why we're talking about today. All eyes on him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on him, saint. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Go to the book of Timothy. Let's look at another one. Timothy. We're going to close in a minute. Go to 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Timothy. Let's go to let's start right here at verse number 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 10. If you guys say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 10. Verses 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, have loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Watch this here. Demas has forsaken me. Paul had forsaken him and went back to the world. Got other things. Caught up in the world and went back to the world. And I want you to know, so many people fall right in that category. They was going on with Jesus. They was going on doing the supernatural, being a blessing in the kingdom of God to themselves, to them, their family, friends, and neighbors. But they got caught up. They took their eyes off of him. Now they gone back to the world. It's many people fall in that category. They was doing a great work. They was doing great things. But they took their eyes off of Jesus and put their eyes on somebody else or something else. And now they're back out in the world. It's not over with until it's over with. That the saints should go out and seek and help, encourage them to come back to the house of the Lord. To help them to pray with them, to stand with them, not condemn them. Like the prodigal son, when he came to his senses, he came on back to the father's house. His father embraced him and received him back in. We need to embrace them. And they are coming back. They will come back. It's just an appointed time. But they got off track while they took their eyes off of Jesus. Saints, I want you to keep your eyes on Jesus. I want all eyes on him. Well, you say, in closing, you might say, well, how do I do that? How do I keep my eyes on Jesus? I'm glad that you said that. I'm glad that you said that. How do we keep our eye on him? It's just two words. Stay focused and make a conscious effort that you're going to spend time with him. Stay focused. Do not be distracted. Do not let things come in and distract you. Stay focused. Stay focused on him. Keep your eyes on him and stay in prayer. Keep your eyes on him. Avoid, watch this, him. Avoid looking what everybody else is doing. Because see, that's going to be a distraction there. You take your eyes off of Jesus when you're looking at what everybody else doing and you want to be like them. You want what they got. You want to go and come and act the way that they do. We're taking our eyes off of him. We're taking our eyes off of Jesus. We need to stay focused. And guess what? To stay focused is take effort. It's take a determination. It's take a desire to do that. It's take a desire. So I'm gonna get ready to close now with a word of prayer. And we'll pick this up later on. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it will go out and do what needs to be done. It will go out and accomplish what it was set out to do, without being hindered, without being unchecked. It's going out unchecked and to do what you ordained it to do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Thank God and amen.